This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Camp San Luis Obispo, California. Right now we're with Lieutenant Colonel Brian Windsor, who's the new base commander. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for coming out to Camp San Luis today.
It's great to be here always. And I was surprised to learn pleasantly that you're a Cal Poly grad.
Yes, sir. Yeah, this is home for me. And so getting an opportunity to come back, you know, to where I started my military career has been absolutely fantastic. It's a dream come true.
When you were at Poly, were you ROTC?
I was. Yeah, I was Cal Poly ROTC class of 2002.
So you always knew it was going to be Army?
I did. You know, I was one of those students. I was a quest to transfer, and I transferred over to Cal Poly. I just saw all the cadets and soldiers out there, and it looked exciting, and I wanted to be part of that. Have been ever since.
What's your specialty?
So I'm a field artillery officer here in the California Army Guard.
And when did you take command of Camp San Luis Obispo?
It's only been a few months. We took command in April of this year. Been a real busy few months since then, though.
You live in Los Osos.
I do. I've been living in Los Osos since about 2015. I was previously assigned here as the Public Works Director, so I've had a chance to live in the Central Coast again for a while.
Even though Camp San Luis Obispo is right on Highway 1 and right on the outskirts of San Luis Obispo, inside of the gate, most civilians don't know what goes on here.
You know, it's really true. I talk to people all the time when they ask me what I do here, and I say I'm at Camp San Luis Obispo, and they'll kind of look at me with a funny eye, and is that place between Cuesta and the sheriffs? And then I get to tell the story, which is great, and I love doing it because we're a really busy place doing a lot of good stuff here.
Let's talk a little bit about the breadth of primary missions that take place on an ongoing basis here.
Yeah, so actually what makes Camp SLO unique is that it's the state base in the California National Guard. So what that does for us is it kind of creates the context for us to have all these relationships with other state entities. We host the California Cal OES's training wing here, CSTI, as well as a cyber joint project between the military department and the state and Cal Poly.
And CSTI is the Office of Emergency Services out of Sacramento, and it's also melded today under Homeland Security, correct?
It is, and in fact, we do a lot of stuff with them for Homeland Security and for FEMA and pretty much every government agency between a municipal safety up to federal agencies train with them.
And again, even just talking about OES for a moment, the breadth of their mission is really fascinating. Hazmat, anti-terrorism, earthquake, a lot of very fascinating ongoing training programs they do.
It is. They do a lot. And, you know, California is really at the forefront a lot of this training because, you know, every year we have a really active fire season. And so we get to kind of put into practice everything that they train year round.
You even have a fake city.
We do. So we have a lot of different facilities to try and replicate what our emergency responders and our guardsmen and soldiers will be exposed to when they go out in California to support civil operations.
In the Army, it's called schoolhouses. You have a couple schoolhouses here, correct?
We do. So the California National Guard hosts the RTI, Regional Training Institute, here at Camp San Luis Obispo, and that is the unit that is responsible for a multitude of different training activities for individuals and classes.
So whether you're enlisted or an officer, you might decide you want to become an MP, for example, military police, and you would come here for that training?
Yes, the MP school is one of the schools we have here, as well as the 88 Mike, which is our truck driver school, and the officer candidate school is managed here by the RTI as well.
So again, being part of California National Guard, do you primarily draw troops from around the state for training, or could they well be from across the country?
They are. They're from across the country for both military students at the RTI, and Cal OES draws their students from across the country as well.
And a little bit more on the breadth of primary missions here.
You know, first and foremost, our mission is to train soldiers to fight and win our wars and support the state. So that is and always will be our first mission. We do that with our various ranges we have and our facilities for training staffs and quite a bit of medical training as well.
And it's interesting that when people look at the Army and they look at the Cal National Guard, you think of military. You think of military deployment, but there's also that civilian component, civil disorder, earthquakes, the fires in the Sierras.
It is, you know, and that actually makes up a lot of what we do here. And it's why I love working here, is the relationships that we have with the other state agencies that are responsible for conducting this training. And we do it together, and it's just a great experience.
And then one more shared admiration, Grizzly Youth Academy, which is on base. We agree, a great, awesome program.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Grizzly is kind of our shining star here. The youth programs within the California Military Department, they're all fantastic, but Grizzly is certainly their standout. And they've been a real success story for everybody that comes through there.
As a little insight on Grizzly, this is for high school kids that are still civilians in high school. They haven't gone off the edge yet, but they're primarily at-risk kids. And so they come here for, what, I think 5-6 months, but then they go back and rotate back into their high school or get a GED here.
It is. And, you know, it's a fantastic program in that when the students come here and they graduate, when somebody's here long enough to see how a student grows from the time they get here to the time they graduate, it's really incredible. But it doesn't stop there. They have a really robust mentorship program that follows the students, that stays with them.
That's for another, I know, at least a half a year. And that's one of the things I'm most proud about Grizzly. A lot of the boot camp programs around the country, they fall down because there is not that follow-up. Where Grizzly, when you leave Camp San Luis as a kid, as a graduate, it's not over.
That's right. It's just another good example of how the military department can leverage soldiers, really, to help people not in what we'd classically think of as a defense role, you know, helping out students.
And another aside of Grizzly, as you know, my wife was an instructor there, so I know too much. A lot of people have said, they kind of roll their eyes and they go, oh, well, this is just a recruiting vehicle for the military. And I go, no, it's not. Because for every kid that comes here thinking they're going to be able to kick in doors with the Marines when they get out, they get a taste of the military and they go, wow, this is not for me. And then some other kids that come kicking and screaming find this is their perfect place for them.
Yeah, you're right. It's certainly not, you know, meant to be a recruiting tactic, but we get some, but it's not much different than the general populace recruiting pool. For the reasons you stated, some people say this is just not for me, and some people find, like me, you know, they just get exposed to it and find something in it that they like, and then they stay.
When you were at Cuesta College, you were right next door, and you'd look in over the gate. What did you know about Camp San Luis Obispo?
Well, see, I was one of those. I didn't know anything. I was right here as a neighbor for a couple years, and I really had no idea. And even really when I was with ROTC at Cal Poly, we trained here a couple of times, but that's it. I didn't have a real good grasp at the time of just how big Camp San Luis Obispo was and how active they were in the community.
You have some firing range way back hidden in the hills, some different obscure training areas. Tell us about some of the crypto stuff.
Yeah, we do. And so like I mentioned earlier, you know, our first role here is to train soldiers. And we do that with our ranges. And so we have quite a variety of different actual firing ranges, and then also some pretty sophisticated simulation ranges too, of which there are very few throughout the Army. And we're bringing one online here. It's going to offer us some additional capability.
And that's virtual reality?
It is. It simulates firing in a variety of situations, and the new system actually allows soldiers to move as they're firing. So it adds that much more reality to what we're doing. It's some pretty great stuff.
What sort of different tactical programs would happen within that lab?
So the basic shoot and move combination is what we try to train there. You know, it's one thing to be out on a firing range in a static position. It's a whole other thing to be moving, you know, with your battle buddy downrange and shooting at the same time.
This would be rifle, pistol, 50 caliber.
Yeah, rifle, pistol, and a squad automatic weapon also.
So fascinating. This is so a whole platoon might be in the exercise or a detached group of a platoon.
Yeah, we can put pretty big groups through, but the building that houses the facility right now can handle about a fire team, so about 5 people at a time, but we put large groups through.
So there's an infrastructure on every military base that the day-to-day operations, the civilian support, the permanent party people that keep the base running. Talk to us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have, at any given day, we have between 70 and 80 folks that work in the full-time staff to kind of keep the base running, from our public works department, our operations, our telecom. It's really just a small version of a full-blown city operation that we do here. And then on top of that, there's about another 450 or so employees at the camp that aren't part of the headquarters, but work here.
Are you the mayor?
I am the town mayor. Yes, sir. It feels a lot like that sometimes. I deal with quite an array of different issues, but that's what I love about it.
Talk to us about some of the major training exercises that happen on an ongoing basis.
So we run through, I was looking at the numbers again the other day, about 100, just over 170,000 people for training last year. And it's a huge variety of training, from individuals qualifying on their weapons to training staffs to entire battalions coming in and establishing their base operations. And we just wrapped up a couple weeks of annual training where we had entire battalions out here in camp.
And what were they focused on? What were they doing?
So we had a maintenance battalion, a logistics battalion, and they came out and set up their headquarters, and they're responsible for providing the needs to a field artillery brigade that's not here, but they were able to replicate all of their tasks and everything they have to do and train on everything right here behind our USPFO, or what used to be our USPFO facility.
Going back in time, this was originally called Camp Merriam, and it was, from what I remember, the original home of the California National Guard, true?
Yes, that's true. In fact, you know, we celebrated our 91st birthday this week. What was Camp Merriam was originally founded in 1928, and it's gone through a lot of phases. We were originally the home of the California National Guard and the 40th Infantry Division. It became a federal installation to support training for World War II, and then handed back to California after that.
That whole buildup in World War II, I mean, it was something like they built basically a whole base in 47 days in the rain.
They did, and there are some great pictures out there of what Camp San Luis Obispo used to look like, and it's just tents and buildings as far as the eye can see out here in the Chorro Valley. It was pretty a pretty incredible sight to behold.
I remember a photo showing the base at its full max in World War II, and where CMC is, that was a parade ground, and the base was all the way down to there.
Yes, back to CMC and over in Cuesta as well. And that's back when we were about 15,000 acres. We're at about 5,000 now, and we used all of them. Yeah, we had somebody everywhere.
Cool. And you had the USO here. And you had some pretty major stars that came to the base in World War II.
We do. I think there's a picture floating around there, too, of, this is after World War II, but of Tom Selleck, who was a California National Guardsman and spent some time here at Camp San Luis Obispo.
A little bit more about you before we go. When you were active deployed, you were in Afghanistan in artillery support?
I was. I was a fire support officer in Afghanistan, a company fire support officer in an infantry battalion in Afghanistan.
That was 2004?
That was 2004 to 2005, yeah.
And then did you go to Iraq?
I did. So I came back briefly and lived in Sacramento for a little while. I took command of a field artillery battery, firing battery, and then that battalion that I was in deployed to Iraq. So then I went to Iraq as a battery commander in 2007.
A little bit more about your cyber training.
Sure. So the cyber training complex we have here is a good example of the military department coming together with academia to try and solve, you know, the most complex problems of the day, and that's cybersecurity. So we have what is the start of, I'm sure will be a very robust and fruitful relationship between the military department and Cal Poly. And it, actually, I should mention, too, we host the DA's cyber forensics program here also, adjacent to the cyber protection, cybersecurity teams. So there's just a lot of really good information sharing going on in the cyber domain.
Talk to us a little bit about projects.
Sure. So if someone were to come out here right now, they'd see that our Grizzly Youth Academy is doing a pretty big project here on their campus, just ahead of when the students come back, improving their own MWR facilities.
MWR.
Morale, welfare, and recreation, making it just really a nicer place for the students to be when they're not studying. Some other projects we have coming up next year is some improvement to our training facilities. We're improving our ranges to bring them up to the current Army standards for training ranges for the new weapon systems. And we're also building a 1 megawatt solar facility. We're blanketing our warehouses with solar panels, and it's going to provide all the power for the base here.
Oh, wow. Very cool. And community engagement, do you ever open the doors and have an open house or
Yes, yes, we certainly do. You know, this is great territory, and we don't want to keep it all to ourselves. So we'll periodically host hikes of Sierra Romaldo right here behind us. And we've also hosted some fitness events, athletic events, and runs on the base to kind of, you know, open the doors so people can see what's going on here and not just be one of those passersby on Highway 1 wondering what's going on over there by Cuesta.
And how does somebody learn more and engage with Camp San Luis as a civilian?
Well, we try to have a fairly robust social media profile so people can find us on Facebook. You know, if you were just Google Camp San Luis Obispo, you would get our splash page in the military department that is all the range of contacts where people can get a hold of us.
Lieutenant Colonel Brian Winsor, Base Commander, Camp San Luis Obispo, and Cal Poly grad. What a pleasure and an honor to spend the morning with you.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, Tom. Thanks for coming out. I really appreciate it. Anytime I can have an opportunity to talk about, you know, what we do here to the community is fantastic.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.